Welcome back. We're getting in the swing of things. We're getting in the swing of things, okay? Can I be honest with you? Lord knows I can't keep my mouth shut, so I can't. Oh, wait, hold on a second. Hi. Welcome to After Hours with Amanda Podcast, the podcast that's kind of about parenting for the most part, but not just for parents, and talks about a lot of other things, rabbit trails included. I'm excited you're here. Let's jump into today's episode. Oh, also, if you have not, y'all, I'm so psyched about this. I started an email list? Like, so I'm starting a community, and you can go to the link in my bio on TikTok or Instagram and sign up for the email list. I'm not going to bombard you, okay? Hear me out, boo. I'm talking like an email every 10 days. I don't know what it's going to entail. Maybe it'll be fun announcements, stuff that, you know, is upcoming. Maybe it'll be like outfit inspo, a little parenting tip. One of my favorite things we're doing, quick, easy meals. Y'all love when I share what I'm eating, which I think is hilarious because it's usually my children's leftovers like whipped into something. But yeah, so if you have not already, please drop your email if you want so I can stay in contact. So one day when I do, I don't know, drop merch or Lord knows one day like a little book or something, you will be the first to know. So here's the thing. I was feeling kind of blue today. I don't know if that's because Auntie Flo is going to make her appearance anytime soon. I know that might feel like TMI, but we just need to get that out of the way and normalize that already. And she just likes to mess stuff up when she comes into town. Like she likes to be like hormones on level 10. Let's do a level 3 in 30 minutes. And then let's shoot her to 62151 in about another 15. So yeah, I don't know if it's that or if it just is me wanting to kind of do that thing where you start to hibernate when stuff feels a little too heavy. And you know what's so funny about that? Not funny though. During that time, it's when I like to be around my kids. I think that's because the tiny humans for me represent all the goodness and they want to give me hugs and loves and they want to be in my presence. And I feel so energized by that. But you know the sucky thing about that? Can we just be honest about this? Does it ever annoy you when you share something and then immediately your inner voice like chimes in and that girl shows up in your head and she's like, ooh, but you know, you saying that, other people are going to be like, oh, well, I guess you just like to be around your kids all the time. And you're like, no, I struggle with things because I'm a person too, but I just like being around them. Oh, well, yeah, you do. Okay, well, that's cool. And then I feel guilty about it. It's not that it's a mom shame thing, but I think that there's this weird shame that gets carried. If you make the statement, I enjoy being with my kids, people are like, oh, okay, you're so cool. And it's like, well, no, I do. I have tough days too where I need my alone time and stuff, but it doesn't always have to be me talking about the ball and chain that is parenting. Like, why can't I talk about the positive side of it without people looking at me like I have three heads? Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like that thing. Oh man, I'll never forget. Oh, buckle up for this. I got a Coke before we did this because Lord knows I needed to go for a drive. But okay. I will never forget. And I've shared this story probably a million times before. I'm on the phone with a friend, chatting it up. This is when Lennon's a little bit younger. I'm not really thinking about anything because I'm on the phone with my girlfriend and Lennon's playing a game like she's even listening to me. Never assume your children are not listening. I swear to the heavens, they could be stealth spies. They hear, they see, they know, because they pick up on your emotions, your nonverbals, your paralanguage, your body language. They are stealth spies. Okay. So when you think they're not looking, they are usually turned in at a level 10. Okay. Anyways, I'm on the phone with my girlfriend. I get off the phone and I say something and London and Paige did this too a while. And it's why I always have to check myself when I'm, you know, I need to lock it up some days, okay? And it's why I try and have phone conversations that are more adult out of earshot. But Lennon looks at me and she's like, I'm sorry, we're so much work. I know it's a lot. And I'm like, what? And she's like, well, I'm sorry. I know it's a lot. You got to do this. You got to do that. It just seems like it's a lot, mommy. I'm sorry we're so much. I tell you the level of like poop I felt about myself for that. Because here's the thing. It's not that moms or people shouldn't have a space to vent, because what I really don't like is when you do have a tough day and then either someone, or frankly, honestly, usually it's my own inner voice that is like, you should be grateful. Make a gratitude list. You're so selfish. Other people have it worse. And it's like, can I just get a moment? Like, can I just get a moment where I can be in my feels, sing out some song in my car about how tough I feel I have it, and then come back down to reality and like enjoy the fact that I feel blessed with, you know, XYZ. Like, can I get that moment? But London said this to me, and I just remember thinking to myself, oh my gosh, how she must feel. And I almost made a TikTok video about this, but I just knew, between you and me, girl, I just knew that if I made the video, there was no way I could get enough disclaimers in it for people to not come for me, because it's not out of me trying to tell people like, you shouldn't complain about kids and stuff like that. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is, let's take this analogy. Say you've been wanting a gift, whatever it is in your mind, right? For like the longest time, you have been wanting this gift. You want to get to that gift. And then you get there, or the person gets you the gift, right? And you get to this place, you get the gift. And then all you do, the 90% of the time with this gift, even though you wanted it, is you talk about how difficult it is and what a burden it is and how much effort it is and how you just have no life now. It's kind of that way in life, right? Like, you pray or hope for this job you want, and then you get it and you're like, okay, this is not what I thought, right? But how does that make your friend feel who bought you the gift? And I just have to remind myself of that sometimes, that I find safe places. Like last night, I hung out with three mom friends. We were at their house and we've stayed with each other, kind of seeing each other on occasion throughout this whole situation. They're moms that I've had babies with and stuff like that. There's five of us, only four of us were there last night. And talking with them and laughing with them and doing stuff that felt so good. And I love creating those spaces where I can do that with them. But I really do try to check myself in front of my kids, because when they hear us talk about it, how must that make them feel? Like, imagine if every time you were with a friend, they were like, I love you, but you're so extra. And you're like, oh, okay. And they're like, honestly, I love spending time with you, but oh gosh, when you don't get sleep, ugh, you're the worst. Like, and everything was like, I love you, but whoa. Do you know what I mean? Like, have you ever seen those videos about like the toxic best friend that's like, you look so good today. I can't believe that. I wish they made that dress in my size, but I think I'm too small. Like, that kind of stuff. So I say all that to say that at the end of the day, when I make a statement, like, honestly, right now, if I'm being completely real, I wish it was summer and I wish my kids at home were at home, because I just want to sit all day and not have to go pick up and not have to do this and just like chill and watch movies with them, which again is like obviously not going to happen. I got to take them to school. They have to learn and all that. I don't need systematic stuff they have to do, right? But I always get so frustrated, because when I do say like, oh, I can't wait for the kids to be out of school, sometimes people look at me and they're like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, really? Okay. Like, I get it. By the end of summer, I'm ready for structure too. I'm ready to like strap on that 8-to-3 schedule and do all the things. Oh, I shouldn't have said strap on. That just sounds weird. That sounds very strange. If I took time to edit these episodes, I may edit that out, but you know how I roll. So moving on. I'm ready to jump back in. That's better. That sounds better. I'm ready to jump back into that schedule and all that jazz. But the movie Chicago is so good. Anyways, I just feel as though there's so much guilt that comes with having emotions lately. And this led me to a thought process I had the other day that I wanted to talk about in my 8-minute introduction. Holy cow. I can never just get to the point. And that is, why are we surprised as parents when our children do stuff differently than we would have? And I really want to apply this to relationships in general, because something that I am starting to realize as my parenting style continues to evolve, as I'm parenting three tiny humans, is that the more that I see them as people and less as a kind of submissive and dominant, like parent is dominant, child is submissive. More I see it as they're human. I'm the one with more experience who's here to guide them and love them. There are guardrails on this thing we called life I need to teach them, but they have space to be. The more I view them that way, the more I realize that the things I feel I'm learning as a parent are things I'm learning as a human being. And it's starting to really get me to this place where I'm setting myself free from feeling as though I have to take ownership with everything when it comes to certain things. Perfect example. Lena was telling me about something, and I shared this in a 1 minute TikTok, but I'm going to give more context here. Lennon was telling me about something that happened at school. And the immediate, like, I didn't even take a beat. There wasn't a breath. I was like, oh, I wouldn't have done that. You know, me, blah, 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 blah. And as she's telling her story, I'm like, oh, yeah, girl, but let me talk about me for a second, because here's what I would have done. Here's where I really think that you missed the boat on that one. And it caught me, because London, in all her innocence and, like, not even thinking a thing about it, she goes, oh, yeah, but mommy, you didn't. I did. I was telling you a story about something I did. And she seemed like very confused. Like, why are you telling me what you would have done? I was just telling you a situation that happened with me. And I looked at her and I said, oh, you know what? You're right. And I had this thought that if every time our child, we have a child together, guys. If every time one of my tiny humans or my kids comes to me and they tell me something and I immediately jump to what I would have done, what I think they should have done because I would have done it, they're not going to come to me anymore. They're not going to want to come to me because they're not going to feel as though they have the space to talk about a situation that they're involved in without getting my advice or my way of doing things. And I think that's a lot in the way of relationships, right? We as people are framed by our experiences, our interpretations, our lens on life. So it is not out of the ordinary for children who are not a complete extension of us. Yes, they are a part physical extension, but they are not an extension of who you are as a being, because you're an individual. And when we start to impose that on them, I think it really doesn't foster their ability to grow, to have us better understand them, to allow us to say, okay, instead of me saying, oh, I wouldn't have done that, I can look at my friend or my tiny human and I can say, okay, well, why'd you do that? Okay, cool. Well, what did you think? What was the reasoning for that? Where'd we think that was going to go? What do we think was going to happen? And ask these probing questions to better understand their mindset. So then I can say, oh, okay, what do you need from me right now? Are you looking for advice? Do you just want to vent? And ask those questions. So I know what they're actually wanting from me, right? Because kids don't come into that situation. Maybe as an adult, and Blake knows this, I'll come to him and I'll be like, can I ask you a question? Literally, we joke about it because whether or not he says yes or no, I completely intend on asking him a question. And usually when I'm asking the question, I want something specific, right? Hey, can I ask you a question? Oh, yeah, sure. Are you like hungry for dinner? Like, what are you thinking? And Blake has now literally learned. He's like, why are you asking me that? Do you have something in mind? Is there something you have specific? And it's funny because that's what I want. I just want to say, hey, I want to do X, Y, Z. But because of who I am as a person, I start off everything. Can I ask you a question? Hey, what do you think about da, 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 da? Instead of just saying, dude, you want Taco Bell or burgers? Because honestly, I'm on the burger side. I'm asking you both because I want to be polite. But for real, I just want burgers. And there are some days that I do that. But I think that that's the thing with tiny humans or even our friends sometimes. Sometimes they come to us and they're not sure what they need. They're not sure what they want, but they need to talk it out loud to us without us imposing how we would do it, the way we should do it, how they need to think about doing it, and all of that stuff. Because kids are always, as they're developing, I swear they're like giving you silent clues you don't even know exist. For some of you who have followed me a long time, you might remember the duck, duck, goose story with Paige. But long story short, last year, Paige comes home from school, y'all, and she is up on me about playing duck, duck, goose. And at the time, this is pre-pandemic, okay? So this is last fall. And I had still had my old job at the time. And I'm like, I'm behind. I have to get stuff done. There is no way I can play this with you right now. But she was really pushy about it. And Paige is more like, okay, you're not going to play. She walks away. I'll come back later. But she just kept and kept and kept it. So finally, I was like, all right, you know what? I will give you one round of duck, duck, goose. I'm going to be real generous here. I did one round. We actually ended up playing for about 3 or 4 because duck, duck, goose goes really quickly. So I did the duck, duck, goose. And at the end of the game, I go, okay, well, that was fun, honey. And I give her a hug and I walk back over to my computer. And Paige runs over to me and grabs my leg. You would think she was literally Rose holding on to Jack as the Titanic was sinking. I swear to you, I thought my leg was going to lose blood flow from the squeeze she gave it. And I looked at her and she's like, thanks for playing Duck, Duck, Goose. And I know some of you in your head are thinking it's not Duck, Duck, Goose, it's Duck, Duck, Gray Goose. But honestly, I feel like that argument is like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? I go with Duck, Duck, Goose. So she looks at me and I'm like, babe, that's okay. Is everything? I'm like, why are you so happy? Instead of just assuming something, I asked her, why are you so happy we played Duck, Duck, Goose? And she goes, oh, well, today I wanted to play at school, but they wouldn't let me play. And they said I couldn't play Duck, Duck, Goose because I wasn't fast enough. When I tell you, and these parenting moments, I'm like, oh my gosh. I could have missed that. I almost probably would have missed that if she hadn't been so persistent, because kids don't always know how to say, I had a tough day. Someone didn't want to play with me when they're 3, 4, 5, you know? And as they get older, do you know what I think we discount? I think we discount that they know how to do that even as teens. I think that it gets even harder as teens to come to us to say anything, because at that point, they're so used to us replying with, well, I don't know what you did, da, 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 here's what I, blah, 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 blah. I think that that level of trust gets removed because there's no trust in the ability they have as people. And what I mean by that is one of my greatest fears and one of the things I struggle most with as a parent is projecting the things that I did in my life onto my kids for fear that they will do them. Why do I have that fear? That fear, which if you know me, when I think of fear, I think of the acronym false evidence appearing real. And I have to repeat that to myself. Because it's on my mirror, fear equals false evidence appearing real. I just remind myself of that every time I start to feel fearful. But the reason being is because I remember the pain and hurt I went through, right? But what I never realized, and this is thank goodness for my husband, because I was accident prone as a child and Blake was just very adventurous and did not suffer injuries like I did. I seemed to always try something new and it would end poorly. But Blake was very adventurous and always had great stories about it. So with three little girls, who idolize him and love quads, love dirt bikes. They all dirt bike, like it's their jam. Corey will be there. Paige is working on it. London dirt bikes. Corey would literally hop on, I swear to you, a hot rod without anyone noticing. And Paige likes, you know, she's my little pressure. She warms up. She's a crock pot, okay? But she loves her quad. And I remember when they first started, everything they would do, And I was so controlling of the situation because I didn't want them to get injured, which is natural, right? You don't want your tiny human to be hurt. But it would actually end up getting them hurt because I would be so distracting with, oh, well, don't do this. So they'd be paralyzed to do anything and then not know how to do anything because I was taking my experience and putting that up on them. And that's not to say that we as parents or maybe friends who have been through the same thing, like you've gone through college and you have a friend or a younger sibling going through college but it's not to say that we don't have experience that we can say, hey, just some friendly things that I learned that I want to share with you. But it also means that we have to trust them. And I think that that's what's hard about not projecting your own experience and me not knee-jerking to say, well, I wouldn't have done that. Well, you're right, Amanda. You wouldn't have because you're not London, you're not Paige, and you're not Corey. And they're not going to be you. Hopefully they take positives of me and not the negatives. Hopefully they take the positives and like 10,000 times better than I ever will be, because I just imagine that that's who they're going to be. I imagine that they're going to be the goodness and the light that they are to me at least. But I really truly believe that trying to stop being surprised at the fact that our kids make different decisions, that people in our lives make different decisions, will free us up from being frustrated and disappointed. Do you know what I mean? So when someone doesn't do something that we think they should, does that mean we shouldn't share it? No, that's not what I'm saying. Because I always tell my girls, if I do something that you thought was going to go one way or the other, come to me and let's talk about it. For example, one of the nights last week, the girls had sugar all day. They had seen their nanas and stuff like that. And right before bed, I was like, you know what? We're coming off the sugar high. We're going to ride it out with some water tonight and skip dessert because our fun fuel is literally maxed out. And the good fuel, I don't think, can even catch up. And Lennon goes, I really thought you were going to let us have dessert. And I was like, oh, I, I didn't know that you didn't mention that to me. And she's like, well, I really wanted the ice cream in the fridge. I would have skipped, you know, X, Y, Z. And I was like, well, it's not about skipping one thing for the other, boo. It's just like, you know, it's late and the sugar right before we go to bed, we want our body to feel ready to rest. And sugar tells us we're ready to play. And, you know, some water tells us we're ready to get sleep and, you know, re-energize ourselves for tomorrow. And she was very upset that I hadn't told her earlier in the day that I was not going to do dessert that night. This had not even crossed my mind. I did not know that there were going to be different treats throughout the day, and I had packed them a cookie in their lunch, and then the school had this cool thing. And I looked at her and I said, well, when I do something that surprises you, why don't you just next time ask? And she's like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, feel free to ask. Say, hey, mom, are we doing dessert tonight? Because if you assume we're going to do it and then it doesn't happen, you're disappointed. But I didn't know that. And she's like, oh, okay. So London, I tell you what, that girl, she takes advice and she'll literally be like, hey mom, we're doing dessert tonight, right? Yeah. Okay. Well, I want to clarify. I'm eating the good fuel. So the fun fuel. And I'm like, yeah, girl, absolutely. But it even goes back to that assumption in relationships of how we think someone should do something, how we think a friend should respond to how we're feeling. And when they don't, stopping ourselves, and instead of being angry and hurt by that, which is fair, instead of staying in that place saying, you know, honestly, I came to you for advice and I thought you were going to be more supportive. And I was really hoping that you were going to be there and empathize with me. And I feel right now like you're not doing that. And it's hurting me. And I need to understand what, and telling that person in the moment what's going on. Because everything's about communication. I think if we don't realize that communication and clarification is at the base of everything when it comes to stuff, it's going to be hard for us. Because we're living in a time where everybody just wants to immediately, with one thing out of your mouth, shut it down. If you're not completely aligning, if you're not saying exactly what you need to say in the way I need you to say it, you're done. And we've gotten away from seeking each other's understanding to say, I don't know if you hear yourself, but I need you to clarify for me in this moment. And that's where I think as parents and people, when we learn to not project what others would do, and we expect from ourselves what we expect from ourselves, that's the key. It's kind of like people have started to ask me to talk about my Christianity on the podcast, and I will absolutely share about that. But I'm going to trickle that in, and then eventually I'll share an episode about my journey, because someone was like, wait, you were a Christian, then you weren't a Christian, now you are a Christian? Like, what happened there? I need the details. And I was like, absolutely, we'll get to that. But this is the thing. Personally, for me as a Christian, I enjoy reading my Bible in the morning. I have a little devotional for those of you that follow me on the Bible app. You know, we're reading a great one right now. I really do need the Bible app to open that up so you can just invite all your friends, because it only lets you invite like 125 at a time, and I'm not down with that. I need more. I need to be able to include everyone. I don't like being uninclusive. But I get up every morning and I do that, right? Okay, I read that devotional. It takes me 5 minutes and I enjoy that. I don't go around during my day and then expect for everybody else to do that. Nor am I disappointed when someone's like, oh, I woke up this morning and the first thing I did today was had cereal. And I'm like, oh, I am so personally offended that you did not take the time to read a devotional or meditate. And they're like, but that's not how I start my day. I start my day with cereal because that's how I want to start my day. And there's nothing wrong with that. I ice roll my face in the mornings too. I absolutely love ice rolling my face. Do I know if it's actually doing anything? Honestly, girl, I don't. I really don't. But it feels good and I feel good doing it. But I don't then in turn look at everyone around me and say, are you not ice rolling your face? What are you doing with your life? Do you not even know there are so many benefits? I feel benefited by it. Do you know what I mean? And I think that, and I say I think because of course these are my thoughts that I'm sharing that of course don't make them the end all be all, and they could be wrong and you could be listening thinking to yourself like, girl, no, that's a hard pass for me. But I think that being surprised when our kids don't act like we do shouldn't be a surprise. It should be more like an investigative journalist where you're like, okay, I see what you're saying. Tell me a little bit more about that. Because London sometimes comes to me when she does something and she's like, did you ever do that as a kid? And I'm like, girl, the things I've done, I can't even tell you. Let me just get into it. And I can share with her on things that are similar but different, things, you know, you do, like, you know, when she got in trouble in first grade and I got in trouble in first grade. And but it's always different because people are individuals. And we set ourselves up to be frustrated and disappointed if we hold everybody to the standard that we hold ourselves. And I don't mean how we treat each other, because you deserve the standard of being treated well. I mean getting irritated or frustrated when our kids are in school and they say, I don't like math, or I don't like reading. And we're like, how could you not like that? I loved reading when I was your age. You are lucky to have books in your room. You don't even know. I had one book and I read it 10 times over the course of 3 years because I never got another book. And I really, right, like, what, you know, the walk 10 miles in the snow thing. But I truly believe that the more we get comfortable with seeking to understand why someone wouldn't do something the way we do it, it's helpful. I do want to again throw one more disclaimer out there, though. I'm not talking about having a standard for how you should be treated as a human being in relationships and things like that. And if someone thinks it's different, not making that a priority. I think that a lot of times that lets you know if you are a priority. But what I am talking about is guilting our kids or guilting people in our lives for not living up to our standard. Because I think that can be really harmful and hurtful. I always tell people, I don't care if my kids go to an Ivy League school or flip burgers. I truly don't. I don't care, because I want them to be happy. I want them to feel happy and understood and cared for. And if that means that they're going to be juggling on La Cienega and Sunrise to get their juggling career started, or they're going to be going to a four-year school to learn about banking, or they're going to go start to do hair, or they're not going to do college at all and they're going to be a super creative and do something that I never even imagined and pave a new road, like, do you, boo? Because for so long, I spent a majority of my life doing the things I thought other people thought I should do because of the way they thought I should do them. It's kind of like I really wanted to be liked. I did. I wanted to be liked so bad. And so when someone who I admired or looked to asked me a question, in my head, I would think to myself, oh, how would they answer this? How do I think they want me to answer this? And then I would give that, thinking it was the absolute perfect answer. And they would be like, oh, well, da 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 da, and say something that I honestly, literally in my mind, had thought was more in line with what I wanted, but I didn't think that's what they would want. So I told them what I thought they needed to hear, because I wanted to align with them. I felt such pressure to be in that standard, in that, oh yeah, I like that. Oh, me too, me too, me too. And it didn't do me any favors, because it put me in this really weird position where I had no idea what I even liked, because I was so concerned with being liked. And I wanted to live up to everybody else's expectations, and that left me feeling really down. And it actually, at my last job, it felt like it eclipsed who I was. You know, at my job, when I was in the management role, they had told me, don't use analogies. It waters down what you need to do. And don't be as friendly with the people. You need to still have that. You can be cordial, but you need to still have that, not authority figure, because they didn't like using those words, but you still need to have that partner mentality where you're a resource, but you don't need to be a friend. And I let that happen for a really long time. And I had my third baby, and she broke me in the best way. And I could not keep up with the facade of really caring what they thought about what I did, because it was super exhausting. And I was already so exhausted, I didn't have time to put on the mask that they needed for me every morning. And I think that when you get to a place in your life where you're so exhausted by other people's standards, that on top of your other exhaustion, you just can't meet it anymore. I think it's a good place to be, because I think it breaks that mask you've been putting on every single solitary morning that tells you you need to be this way. And it says you can't live this way because you're dying this way. You know, imagine a flower that wants to stay bloomed forever. So you assume if you put a glass over it and set it in the sun, it'll forever stay bloomed, right? You want to preserve it. But what ends up happening to anything you try to preserve in that state is it ends up shriveling, and I don't even know what to say, but it becomes brittle and breakable. And that is a perfect analogy for us as people. I've gotten to this point in my life where other people kept telling me, oh, I wouldn't do that. Oh, you shouldn't do that. Oh, that's not how I would do it. And I was so concerned with doing everything how everyone thought I should do it, that by the time I had Corey and I was on maternity leave and I was tapped, y'all. When I say tapped, I am telling you, I was crying on my stairs hysterically, could not get it together, had to have Blake take the baby from me. I was so overwhelmed with everything going on. And I just didn't have time for the bullshit. And I say that, excuse my French, but I didn't have time for the bullshit. I literally got on the phone. I went to the meeting and they had said, okay, this is your chance. You either do this or you do that. Here are your two paths. You get to pick one. And I went to that meeting and I said, none of this was clear to me. None of this was communicated well. I am tired of feeling this way. This is not how I should feel. This is not what's meant to be. And I am no longer going to keep making myself like a frigging Gumby. Like we're going to bend me. Like stretch, what is it? Stretch Man Strong? What is the little doll that stretches every which way? I am no longer going to contort myself for what you need because I'm so exhausted by the things in my life that matter to me. The things I love and care about are already exhausting me to a level that I don't have time to keep up with what you need right now. What you're projecting on me, what you're telling me, that can't survive with me. So one of the things has to die and I choose your expectations of me to die. And it was a very hard place to be because it was terrifying and I didn't feel worthy. And that it took a year and a half of me trying to almost in a sense, like heal myself and the opinion I had of myself, because I so often had to, and I talked about this before, the idea of metacognition where you stop yourself mid-thought. And I still do that where I say something and that little inner voice that she is so rude some days and she just pops her little snotty noise up and I'm just like, no girl, I'm going to bat you off my shoulder. I'm not listening to you. And I had to do that and I still have to do that. But I don't want to carry that through to my kids. And that doesn't mean my kids aren't going to feel that way in some way about things that I've done. I mean, there is no perfect parent. Every kid comes out of the parent tiny human relationship saying like, oh, I will not do what my parents did. No, ma'am. Mm-mm, no, thank you. But what I can do is I can be aware of trying not to project what I would have done, trying to understand where they're coming from, and then try and help in ways that I can that they need to guide them with what they're going to be doing. I can continue to help put tools in their toolbox so they do think of me when they need me. So they do think of, oh, actually, you know what? Let me go to mom on this because I'm not sure. And she lets me make decisions and she equips me and she builds me up. So I need to go to her to get that extra boost. I need to tell her what's going on because I know that's a safe place. And that's what I want to create. I want to create a safe place where communication and trust abound. And that doesn't mean it's not going to get broke. Please, I've broken trust with my kids when I've told them I'd do something tomorrow and I don't do it for a week. And they've broken trust for me when they told me they ate their vegetables, but really they chucked them, right? So we're all human. And giving each other grace and seeking to understand and ask questions, not using absolutes in things where you always, always, and you never, never, and speaking from a place of I feel, so we can speak from how we feel and ask questions versus accusing. I think that's where we start to get on a really cool path to healing ourselves and creating the space for the relationships that will enrich us, developing the ones we have. I don't know if any of that made sense. And I always feel that way at the end of my episodes. And the reason I feel like that at the end of my episodes is because I fly with this thing on the seat of my pants. We are literally flying. We're wearing chaps without what we need. But I just had that on my heart to share. And I say this every episode, but I can't wrap my head around the level of grateful that I am for you. The level of just happiness I feel being able to be a part of your life by coming to it every week and getting to see the DMs that come across on Instagram every day, just getting to hang with you. So as I always say, if no one has told you lately, you are important. You are worthy. You are valued. You are loved. You have exponential and limitless potential, and no one can change that. And that will never change. And you determine what you do with it. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening to me. I hope you got whatever you needed done, even if just mentally checking out, if it's getting some homework done, whatever it is, I hope that it was what you wanted. And if you haven't already subscribed to our email list, I'm going to plug it again because I'm just going to keep plugging it because I'm excited for all the things to come this year. And I love being able to communicate with you in that way. So head to the link in the bio with Instagram or TikTok either and click, I think it says join the fam, because obviously we're a community. So I hope you have a wonderful Wednesday. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate you, and I will catch you on the flippity flip of next week.